What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome back to 26 degrees, Miami Hurricanes football barbershop talk. You got Lane, you back. Another episode, fresh off of the rebound on the belt ass tour, getting things back in order. Applying belt to all enemies from the east to the west, north to the south. Stanford, you know, I said the tree had to pay, somebody had to pay. So Tim Burr. It got my main man D Rob up in the building. Looks like we got a two-man weave going today. The fellas is tied up. Several different situations. We might have to pop in. We'll see how it go. But we're going to kick this thing off, man. Say what's up to the people, D-Rob.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It turned out to end up being a great win. Shout out to my guys who can't make it, you know, starting to go through some things going on, you know, prayers to the families and stuff like that. So, let's go.
So, first off the dub, man, 42-7. You know, I just got to watch the game today. I was just tied up on Saturday evening. But the first game I'm missing a while, actually. But, you know, I guess just overall feelings of the game in general. I thought it was a good rebound game to just kind of get things back on course. I think Stanford did like most people and gave us their best shot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, and it kind of remains because, you know, we came on the show and everybody was in unison on I think everybody's in unison. I don't know. I definitely thought we was getting that 30-point shellacking. I wasn't worried about too much about, you know, I was like, I think I might have predicted like 29 or 30. Either way, dominant win. And, you know, I heard some criticism, well, that wasn't dominant. I'm like, well, last I checked, 42-7 is dominant. And if it was another team, you wouldn't have that energy.
Correct.
Like, you know, I noticed how that go. You go look at number one Ohio State. Go look at some of them games. Every game wasn't just a straight ass whooping from whistle to whistle. And that's not how it's going to be. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be. You're not going to jump on everybody at a clip of 14 points every quarter and just bury everybody. It's not how the game goes. You know, it's a lot more parity out there, though. So, yeah, in general, I thought they bounced back well. I thought I saw a lot of things I wanted to see. Still some things that, you know, like to see clean up a little bit more. The run game. I knew they wasn't going to flip things around, but they did try a few different looks to diversify just a little bit. A couple of pin and pulls. Just a few things to mix it up just a hair. And I thought they did better with the penalties in general.
Yep.
Especially because the penalties, and this is a key thing, penalties is like here nor there a lot of times. But what bothers me is when it's key downs and distances. Like, mm-hmm. We really got to have everybody locked in on these type situations. And I thought, all in all, it was an improvement. I liked what I saw in general on that stand. What's kind of your overall thought of the game?
At first, I ain't going to lie, I was very disappointed because, again, it was a super slow start. We can't do that against teams that's competent. You know what I'm saying? We definitely can't do that next week. Regardless of what we may think about SMU, they run a up-tempo. They can score fast. And if they keep doing that, we'll be down 21-0 before we blink. You know what I'm saying? So I was very disappointed with the slow start. That's something that we have to get corrected. All in all, I can see where they scored it for opening the opening possession, and then it was nothing else after that. So I was very happy with that. The defense showed up. I was very happy with Lucas getting his first career interception. Wesley Bissaint with the interception. The defensive line played really good in the absence of Akeem Mezidore. Lightfoot had actually a pretty good game. Armando Blunt had a really good game. I was very impressed with him. David Blade needs to stop with the neutral zone infractions, bro. Like, it's every game, it's him.
He's pushing. That's what Coach said. Watch the ball.
Yeah, like watch the ball instead of the player. You know what I'm saying? I said that if we don't beat them convincingly, I would be very concerned. Being if it would have been like, let's just say if it was a like 31-17 or, you know what I'm saying? Like if it was anything like that, I would have been very concerned because there's no reason they shouldn't even been in the game at no point. You know, I get it. They scored on the opening drive. Then after that, we held them down, but we struggled. You know, we wasn't putting stuff together. And, you know, Beck, again, he missed a couple guys that were open. But I will say, you know, I was very proud that they gave Tony Johnson and Josh Moore, they gave those guys more opportunities because it opened up a little bit more. And then the running game, it got going. I was very impressed. Again, Mark Fletcher, he's like those horses that have like the little vision thing where it just looked forward so you can't look on the side of you.
The little blinders.
Yeah, the little blinders. Like he just has tunnel vision. And it's like you could have bounced outside and scored, but instead it looks like you was looking for contact and you run over the guy. It looked good. Yeah, cool. But you had an easy touchdown. You know what I'm saying? Jordan Lyle was very – when he got his opportunity and he scored, he looked very explosive, man.
Yeah, looked nimble.
He looked nimble out there. A little nimble out there, and I like that. I can see why he was the starter until he got hurt, but I was impressed with that. All in all, I was happy with the win after because we ended up beating them by the spread plus more. So I was – because at first I was like, okay, it's fourth and goal. All we got to do is kneel the ball. Man, Mario, he probably going to tell him, go ahead and kneel the ball, man. It ain't no reason to run a play. Nah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
whatever. He old school. And, you know, you got to respect it because – it was our backup guys at that point.
Yeah.
So it's like, look, and I always say that, look, our guys get to play meaningful snaps. If they get to get in that game, I want them to be able to run. I need to be able to see if they can run what I need them to run. So you can't be mad at it, especially because they still had a lot of starters in. So it was your ones on our twos towards the end on that defense for the most part. From what I can see, just, you know, I ain't do a complete run through the roster. But, yeah, I mean, ain't no mercy, man. Just got to play football, and we need some style points, too, for some bounce back because, you know, I actually forgot that this year winning the ACC don't get you an automatic bid. It'll be based on rankings, basically. So,
yeah,
like even us just winning the ACC doesn't automatically get us a bye. So there is an attempt to try to climb back into that top four ranking. And then secure, you know, a seeding that way. Just because the bye be nice. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's kind of weird. Sometimes I don't like a bye. Sometimes I'll be like, don't stop the momentum, man. Let that thing keep rolling.
I'd rather not have the bye. I'd rather if we can play. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't stop what we got. Don't win or lose. If we make the ACC championship, win or lose. Keep the momentum going. I don't want that bye. You know what I'm saying? Let whoever have that bye, let them, you know what I'm saying, whatever. And then
we didn't work out last year.
Yeah.
Because the two teams that made it all the way didn't get a bye.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they didn't. They didn't.
So, yeah, I mean, it can be nice for, you know, rest. But then, like I said, something to be said for momentum, too. So it's a catch-22. It really just depends. It can help a little bit too. Maybe if you're a little, everybody gonna be banged up that time of year. But depending on maybe a key injury could maybe return. But you know, I think either way, win out is the attitude, like you said earlier, because it'll just put us in position to you know, get in the playoffs and then a new season. It's a new season at that point. You just got to win enough games to go ahead and take this thing, and you can hoist another trophy, man. So let's kind of I'm gonna kind of run through the game like I did last show. Kind of enjoyed that format. Seemed like everybody liked running that way. So we just kind of go through it quarter by quarter. And kind of see how we ended up where we did to get to that 42-7.
Okay.
What's up, Marl in the building?
Oh, really quick, just to add to what y'all was talking about, like 11. I just want to get to 11-1, and just wherever the chips fall, right? If we go to Charlotte, cool. If we don't, cool. Because if we don't go to Charlotte, that's our bye, anyways.
True indeed.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And that could happen, oddly enough.
It worked for Ohio State, so I'll take it.
Yeah. And boy, I told everybody, I said, boy, don't worry about that Big Ten. Not when you're holding that other trophy up. That one don't matter nearly as much. You can trade it every time. But we're just gonna run through a little bit, kind of quarter breakdown. We started off with the Rock, which is that's first time this season, isn't it? If I'm not mistaken.
No, did we start or did they Stanford start it?
No, we had offense first.
Oh, we had offense first.
Yeah, I think that might have been first time this
first
season.
Time this season where we we had offense first. Yeah.
So we get out there. Beck starts off pretty smooth. He gets out of pass to Tony, and he hits Tony Johnson. So it's like the Tony to Tony connection. He then goes 3 for 3, hits Tony again. And then we get a false start on Bauman. So we had we was moving the ball. And this is one of these penalties I've been talking about avoiding that puts us in the negative situation. And, you know, like kind of like D-Rob was saying earlier, like that's where you start going, oh boy, here we go again. And it's funny, the chat been way more active on most game days. And that was like one of the only things said in that. I was just like busy, tied up. So like I said, I didn't even see the game. And so I'm like a little spooked, like, uh-oh, what the hell going on? Like, what just happened? But, you know, I know definitely you was thinking, like I saw you put in there, here we go, these negative penalties, man. I'm with you. I'm like, come on, bro. But again, like I said, in this game, I don't think it was nearly as prevalent. But, yeah, he ends up getting a false start, pushes us back a little bit. Then we throw a screen, which ends up being a negative play to CJ Daniels. Stanford holds us and end up going, oh, it was like a 3rd and 13 at that point because of the negative plays. Stanford holds us. We go for the field goal.
We miss it.
Missed the field goal. Yeah, he pushes it a little bit. That's his first miss on the year. He ain't kicked a lot, actually. That's kind of, I think he was like 5 for 5. I think that would have made him 5 for 6.
Yeah.
Pushed that one a little bit. I can't remember the distance on that one. I didn't jot it down. It wasn't very long though.
Yeah.
It was very makeable. He just pushed it.
I think it was like 50 yard.
38. Was it that?
I think it was like a 50 yarder. I want to say it's about a 50 yarder. If I'm not mistaken.
See if we can find that out. I don't think it was that deep, man. I think we was right outside the red zone. I could be mistaken. I'll see if I can find it. It should be on here for like missed attempts or whatever. But yeah, missed that one. And then Stanford takes over and, you know, credit to them, man. They got a, you know, former NFL guy there and Frank Wright. I thought he scripted a nice opening drive. They just kind of moved it steadily, you know, not in big chunks. They had one big chunk run by his name, Cole Tabb, I want to say. It was number 33. He broke off like a nice run, kind of tiptoeing down the sideline. And, you know, the defense actually after that huge run and put him in positive territory, defense did pretty good holding up on that series, but they was able to convert a 3rd and long. Because after that big run, they put him in our field position. So now they're, you know, just outside of the red zone. After converting that 3rd and long, and then Poizer got beat on the outside. He was kind of out there by himself. He got beat to the outside for 6 on that one. That was a 12-play, 74-yard drive for Stanford. They held the ball for 5 minutes and 23 seconds. So exactly what they would want to do to us, right? To hold the ball, limit possessions. You know, this offense, and that, I guess this would be said too, right? We want to talk about it. This offense is not nearly, I would say, as explosive as last year's was. So we kind of like what you said before, I don't believe we have the luxury of like going down big. Because I don't think we have as much quick strike ability. Are you gonna say something else?
Oh no, I was gonna say like I was gonna say like the run kind of sets that up, but that missed field goal was 44 yards. Y'all were kind of like
Yeah, I thought, yeah, I had like 38, 40-ish in my mind. Yeah, I could say very makeable. But anyways, they did what you would hate to see a team do to us, which was convert a couple of long ones. But most of it was just dink and dunk, slowly move the ball. I mean, their quarterback for the whole day, I think he was what? I think it got 140 yards.
You talking about total yards or passing?
Passing.
Oh no, he only had like 89.
But that's total yards?
No, total yard. Yeah, they had like 144 total yards.
Good God.
Passing. passing.
Oh so, Lord.
Passing.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Passing, he had 50. And the other quarterback had 39.
Okay, yeah, my man.
9 of 21.
9 for 21 for 50 yards. Only he threw that touchdown early and two interceptions and got sacked twice. Yeah, I don't know why I thought, good God. Well, you know what it is? I can't imagine nobody only got 140 yards total offense. And if people want to be like, I don't know if that was a dominant win. Listen, brother, 140 yards of total offense is dominance.
Yeah,
that is absolute domination, man. That's hard to pull off in college football. But anyways, so they get the ball. We get the ball back after that, excuse me. A little run by Fletcher, picks up a couple there. End up throwing over to Josh Moore for a first down. He got to get some decent burn in this game. JoJo got some decent burn, I want to say, in this game, too. I don't think he recorded a stat, but it's a positive sign. I know a lot of people, you know, where's JoJo? I think he's digging himself out the dollhouse. You know, just putting it together at practice and at least getting his opportunity on the field. Because, you know, what part he was hearing before was, like, when he did only get that one play, he ran the wrong route or he ran it, like, half-assed. So, you know, Beard snatched him back out of the game. Like, hey, man, you're going to have to work to get back to that position. Whatever he did, you know, I don't have the details on that put him in that dollhouse. Bottom line is he's going to have to work his way back out. But I thought it was a positive sign that he did just get more action this week. That let me know that he's getting his head screwed on right about the situation. So, yeah, we convert, get a first down there. Took a deep shot to Tony. Wasn't able to connect on that one. Then the next play, Beck gets kind of one of these. One of the things he's driving me crazy with, man, is he's throwing off that back foot when he gets a little pressure in his up the middle. He has a bad, bad tendency. And, you know, this is a six-year guy. So it's just a part of his game at this point. I ain't expecting that to change much.
Yeah.
You just cross your fingers and hope that it don't go too bad. But he got, you know, and 52 got bullied a little bit in this game a couple of times. And that was one of those plays. Brockmeyer got pushed right into his lap, which is why he ended up throwing off that back foot. But I kind of also need him to just either take that sag or, you know, throw it to the sidelines. Like, don't just float it off that back foot, man.
Yeah.
That could be so detrimental for what we got going on. And then we ended up punting off of that drive, too. So, slow start on the offense, like you said earlier, man. Some movement early on the first drive that, you know, we didn't get the field goal. Second drive got definitely stopped out a lot quicker. You know, and Stanford gets the ball back. They start moving the ball a little bit. But the defense tightens up to kind of finish that first quarter and forces a punt. And essentially, that's the end of The offensive game for Stanford, it's not much more happened for them after that point. So it's hard to see, though, you know, when you're in the game because it's first quarter and we lose a 7-0. Mm-hmm. That was the thing, too. It's like, I'm busy. I'm out and about. I got stuff going on. And I see 7-0. I'm like, I'm under enough stress as it is. I'm not turning this shit on right now. I came home and I saw like a half a play and we were still down 7-0. And I was like, nope, not doing it. I'll just catch it later. But not a bad first quarter. Not bad. It's just not capitalizing on the opportunities.
Correct.
You know, what's your thoughts on like teams scoring on us on their first script?
I don't necessarily too much have a issue with it because I know that first 9 times out of 10 that first script usually works, but to begin to open up a game, you know, because you necessarily don't know what you're gonna do. If it doesn't work, then that's even better, right? But most of the time, they're driving, they'll get it, or you know what I'm saying? If they get into on your side of the field, more than likely, fourth down, they're gonna go for it. Hey, we got this far, let's go keep going. And if they feel like it might not, you know, work, they'll at least get 3 points. So opening drive, I'm okay with it. Like I said, it happens. I think who else? Well, the last two games, people have scored touchdowns on opening drive. I don't think nobody else has scored an opening touchdown. Just the last two games.
Right.
Yeah. So other than like, I really don't have an issue with it. I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you get a chance to adjust, it don't necessarily got be the end of the world. So like it's so much football left, you know, same thing. Like Beck said that last week when we was down 14-0 and I'm like, he's absolutely correct. Like there's a lot of football left, especially if you're down 14-0 in the first quarter, they can score 14, you can score 14. So it's just get your head screwed on right.
And the thing is, like, I know we at home, and I really don't have a problem because we're at home and they do it. Okay, they're not getting any momentum with the crowd because
they're not going to energize.
If they're at home and they do that, and then we get a 3-and-out and they get the ball back, see, now it's going to get real stupid.
You know what I'm
saying? So it's like, that's why I don't necessarily too much have a issue with that at this moment. So. We'll see how it goes, man. We just got to clean that up, really.
Maybe a few more of them turn into 3 points. But, again, it's not cause for alarm, I would say. It's just like, see if we could just, you know, buckle down a little bit earlier. And then, like, once we can squeeze the field, see if we could just keep it to 3.
Louisville game should have been 3. Take field goals. So, again, I think it just goes back to that first drive. You know, are we being, I want to say vanilla, it's probably a better word, but are we just kind of wanting to see what they do and then the staff go into lab and they figure it out? I mean, last 2 weeks, the adjustments have been great, but at the same time, like you said, can we bend, don't break? I think Florida game was kind of like that, or maybe the USF game, but just where, all right, they move the ball, but once they get to that 20, you know, shut that down.
Yeah, USF was like that for sure.
Yeah, like shut that down, make them kick a field goal, and then we good. Because when we gave up that 7 to Louisville after that fake, D-Rob said, them weird vibes came. that first drive, we could just not give up a touchdown, and you can achieve the same success.
Yeah, and that Louis game, we knew, like, all right, it's get weird. He's going to pull out all the stops. I wasn't worried about that as much with Stanford. I was like, they ran by, you know, Frank Wright, they're going to keep it. They're going to just run their offense. They're not going to really try to get too crazy, mix stuff up too wild. They're just going to try to get, you know, their whole focus now bringing Andrew Luck there and Frank Wright there for just a year. I think Luck might take over next year. He ain't said it yet. That'd be kind of interesting. But the way he's, like, so connected to the team and around the team, you know, seeing them on the sidelines, I wouldn't be shocked, man. It would be a little bold, but where they at as a program, you might as well take a shot, you know, and give Andrew a lucky shot if he wanted to be the head coach of the program.
Yeah, but the thing is with Luck, man, he's in the perfect position, right? Because he basically runs the whole football. He's basically the football AD.
He's like czar, right?
He raised like $150 million, and then just last week, he got a $50 million donation. from somebody strictly for football. So he has the money. They have the – I'm going to tell you, I'm not scared of Stanford. Like, oh, they're going to turn into his powerhouse. No. But he's going to get a – he's going to get somebody. He's going to get a good coach. A good coach is going to come, and he's plugged in. Andrew Luck plugged in. So yeah, it's like – I think that whoever takes that job, they're gonna have some, especially at the quarterback position, because right now who they have is not their guy. That's somebody who they had to pick off the scraps pile because their starter hit the portal and went to an Auburn or somebody. He went somewhere else. Ashton Daniels. He left.
Right.
They kind of stuck with they had to just grab somebody, and it just happened that he was in the portal, so that's who they got. So
yeah, and they spoke on that, like Stanford getting out of the dark ages, kind of like in that Clemson mold of, we ain't doing the portal, da da da. And Luck came around like, hey, we doing the portal. Like, y'all got to get real. That's why he wanted to do the fundraising. So I'm with you. I think they'll be competent and competitive. And I think they look better now than they did at the beginning of the season. They just ran into, some pissed off Canes with, a point to prove. But second quarter kicks off. Like I said, we forced a punt. A little short run, pats it over to Marion, sets up a third and short. Jamar Moore gets a little action, runs for a first there. The next series after that, I forget exactly what happened, but I know we ended up in a 4th-and-4 situation. We had a couple of short games there, didn't amount to very much. But we get them 4th-and-4, and man, the kid shines, man. Baby Jesus probably shines. He does his thing again. ends up catching the 4th-and-4 in his left hand, kind of spinning away from the football. The route wasn't finished developing. He catches that joint in his left hand, tucks it, turns it upfield, and you see why they looking at him like that guy, man. He just is. That kid is something different, man.
Oh yeah.
And after that, another issue that is kind of haunting Beck a little bit too is after that he gets a
Quick breaking news. Dennis Smith just posted, what time it is, senior tape and elite length and blaze. So yeah,
we got Milan Paris.
Yeah,
he's supposed to commit like
15 minutes.
Yeah, seven, officially five. At 7, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a big kid. Kind of one of them late riser type guys, senior film guy. I think he got star potential written all over him, man. And, that brings us another big body. Pair it with Josh Moore. Maybe we can flip Calvin Russell down the stretch. Next thing you know, you got some trees out there, man. Start looking like some of them old Clemson teams. But another thing that's been kind of plaguing Beck, and again, I just kind of accepted who he is. It's clearly a fall off from last year. It's just it's what it is, but his flaws in his game. He had another tip pass that really should have been picked off. That's kind of been something that concerned me a little bit, because he's not a small guy anyways, like short, but I noticed a lot of tip passes at the line. That one got tipped off, should have got picked off. I think it hit like 3 Stanford players on that play. Like, how they didn't catch that interception is beyond me, because it got like tip drilled like twice in the air, and then third guy just couldn't come down with it. Let's see. But after that one, another pass to Moore. That ended up setting up he got a decent gain off of that. It set us up then for 4th-and-3. We decided to go for it. Hit CJ Daniels right in the hands. He ended up dropping it on like a little quick slant on the inside. Oh,
my God.
Couldn't believe he dropped that one. But that was that. So Stanford takes over on turnover on downs. Quick 3 and out on that one, though. So this defense is really keying up. Like, at this point, they got what they want figured out, and they really just applying the, you know, the pressure early now. Say we get another drive going. Beck find 10 for a first. Then he hits Elijah Lofton. Someone, you know, a guy that's been pretty quiet, but got a lot Elijah Lofton for a 9-yard gain. Fletcher runs for the first. We get a ball start by 63 again. I don't know what he needs to figure out. He's got to be leading the team. I don't know what's going on with Okalola, bro. But he's got to be leading the team in fall starts. Yeah. Stop doing it, bro. What is going on? I don't know what the hell he like. Why he's so nervous, but bro, keep getting these fall starts, and that's driving us insane. Real quick, before we go any further down this drive, you military man, what did you think of the uniforms?
I ain't like them because they use the Marine Marine format, so I that's tech. Already yeah. I ain't like them.
You know what's funny? Like I like them more on field, right? I was like, oh, those pretty clean, but I'm gonna tell you why I had to shit on. The pants is the same color as the field. It looked like we was running around with no guys. Like I was That's what looked crazy. If they would have gave him the black pants to go with it,
yeah,
the black cleaned it up a lot better look on those.
Yeah,
that green was the wrong green, fellas. Like the green matched the damn field.
The green from a TV perspective was better.
Huh?
The mannequin when they first displayed them.
Like, yeah, yeah.
The particular one where it looked a lot better.
And yeah, I think that the mannequin had like an olive green. Yeah, I think the mannequin had like an olive green, and the green they used on the field was like grass green. I was like,
yeah,
it's too bright. It's blending. So it's funny actually looking at the players because a lot of times from a TV perspective, like I say, look like them boys didn't have no thighs out there. It was just running on top of knees and shins and feet. But they caught a lot of flack for them. I actually, like I said, I liked them pregame. I didn't have an issue until I actually saw the green on the green field. So I had to give the duck points right for the fact that the pants blended too well. But from there, drive continues to move here, though. Past the flesh for a little short game. Beck runs for 9. They had it covered up pretty good. So he decides to take off. I love watching him take off because he swear he got wheels. He ain't got no wheels, dog. He got no wheels,
none.
My boy got zero acceleration. Like, he hit that top gear fast, and that's it, Jack. He is wide open, and that's it. But he leaned forward, came close to getting it. It was a 4th-and-1. We converted the first on 4th-and-1, just ran it on over. Gave it a 4. He ran for 6. Next play, gave it to him again, ran for 2. Next play, ran for another 2, got the first down. Then we gave it to Malachi for a reverse. Boy, some tackles and picks up the first on that one.
Really, nigga?
After the reverse from Tony, 4 run for a short game, like I said, and then hit C.J. Daniels on a fade route. 6, that takes us pretty much into the halftime. Tied 7 apiece. You could feel the momentum shift at this point, though. Like, it felt like we was doing what we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
It was just time to turn it up and start, like, cashing it in and turning it into actual points versus, just holding them down. It's like holding them down is cool. Kind of remind me of that Florida game where we were containing them. But at some point, you got to go ahead and get the eggs in the basket, man, to go ahead and get these points. So I definitely felt like it shifted. But, you know, the one thing, too, is like I mentioned earlier, is this is – I'm pretty sure I double-checked, but I'm almost certain this is the first time we don't get the ball at the second half either to start the half. So we got to get back on defense to start the game off. And no concerns because the defense is handling business in a major way. But – you don't get the, like, I like how, you know, we've had that opportunity to carry that second quarter momentum right into third quarter momentum. If, you know, obviously if you get the ball right back, But it's the first time we don't have to do that. But third quarter starts off. David, you know, we line up. They, you know, they get a little return or whatever, nothing too major. Blay had that jump again, like you mentioned earlier. Jumped offside, pushed somebody. They snatched him right out after that, too. Like, as soon as he did it, they pulled him off the field. I was like, come on, cuz. Let's tighten up, man. Let's watch the ball. Like, I saw they showed Jason Taylor on TV at that point. You just read it. He's like, watch the ball.
Yeah, man.
Little stuff to clean up, man. But it turned out okay on that one. Bane ended up kind of getting some good pressure on the quarterback, forcing them to end up like throwing an intentional grounding pass, set up a 3rd and 24. And next play, you got the sack from 18. Gets the pressure in there, gets the sack. I don't know how many sacks that is on the year for him, but yeah, nice game, man. Shout out. That's the other thing people get. He's a young boy, too. We praise Tony so much, and you forget. Yeah, he's been there a year, but he's still baby himself.
Yeah, he's still.
He's wearing his age on his jersey number. He's still a baby himself.
Yeah, he's a reclass. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be, yeah. So,
you know, right, right.
This is supposed to be his true freshman year right now.
Right, exactly. Forced the punt there. So, like I said, it's kind of things are rolling into the direction that I think we should be getting into. Then they punted to us. Malachi has nice return, man, all the way up to around the Stanford 40. It was a 33-yard punt return. Set things up beautiful. So we already in plus territory. Hit Tony Johnson again for a first down. It was good to see him get out there and get in rhythm a little bit. You know, I heard him make mention because it was like why he hasn't played as much. And Dawson was saying, well, you know, Malachi Tony, it's kind of hard to get this guy in when you got that kid out there. But they ran some packages I could see where both of them were on the field at the same time. And I like, you know, he played a little small ball. Some of these undersized, shifty guys and let them, you know, make those DBs get out there and work in a different way. And he was effective with his opportunities, man. Shout out to Tony Johnson, man. Nice game. Go back to Marion. He ended up having his second drop. He's getting a little dropsy for me, man. Yeah, I thought he started out pretty good this season. You remember we said I told X he had to come to the altar, man. He was giving that boy hell, and I thought he looked pretty good early on. But that was the second drop of the game, and I'm like, these aren't necessarily very difficult passes. So you know, I think it reflected in some of his burn as well. I think his snaps went down a little bit in this game. I definitely seen like we had more of a wide receiver rotation in general. Just my general observation. Let's see, after that. Little pass over to Fletcher in the flats, picks up a first down there, ends up making it first and goal. Cause the one that Tony Johnson was a fairly big gain there. So it put us down in good position. Then like I said, Fletcher carries that one up, catches it, turns it up the field, end up being first and goal. Next one, go right back to Fletcher, runs for 6. Next play, give it to Fletcher. He just walked in. What do you think, D-Rob, about the – it was like a heavy dose of Fletcher this game. Like, it seemed intentional. How you feel about, like, that kind of – that strategy? I felt like they intentionally leaned into him a little bit more in this game.
Yeah, so I didn't have a problem with it because Fletcher was cooking. He had a hot hand. You know what I'm saying? So it's like – keep feeding him. And the more they kept feeding him, he kept getting stronger. You know what I'm saying? Would have liked to see the other guys more? Sure. But if Fletcher is cooking and he making it happen, like I wouldn't even stop his motion. Like let him do what he doing and have the chips fall, like let them fall. But again, like I said, when I saw, what's his name?
Lyle.
Lyle.
Yeah,
he got his opportunity to get loose. I was like, man,
It's a different year. It's a different
Yeah, like that's what we've been waiting for. That's what we've been missing. Oh boy, I can't wait. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really can't wait. You know, so
we'll, still a lot of football left to be played.
Still a lot of football left to be played. I think that they're gonna get more opportunities, especially in this SMU game. I think they're gonna get a lot more opportunities. So we'll just go from there, man. So but I wasn't upset at all that oh boy, he got all of the he got everything. He was on
early burn.
He got all the reps. I wasn't mad at that at all.
Yeah, I agree. I thought the running game, like you mentioned earlier, got kind of headed right back into the right same direction or the right direction. You know, like we mentioned before, like you're not going to see a complete overhaul. So I was happy to see the execution turn up. And I'll say I thought the O-line played better as the game went on as well. You know, all of us here are pretty big, fans of Coop. But early in the game, I felt like, you know, he wasn't really getting off the ball and really engaging like I would like to see him. But I give him credit towards the end. I thought Anez Cooper was playing better football and really getting a body on somebody and being a problem as the game continued to wear down. So we get the ball back to Stanford. Nothing cracking again, man. They ain't moving the rock. 93 stood out a little bit too. He got a tackle for loss in that game. It was like a 4-yard tackle for loss. That's Dante Simpson Jr. He got a little more burn in this game too. I don't think he got a lot of snaps, but I noticed him on a few plays that he did get in. But I was wondering, I was like, who's 93? But he flashed in his few opportunities. He definitely looks the part. Like, you know, he's every bit of that 3+. He's every bit of that 315 to 330 range, whoever they got him listed at. He's all of that. Big kid, big tall kid, man. So I think we got a bright future there as a guy that can really be a major contributor. I mean, true freshman, and they trusting him this far down in the season to get in there and make some plays, and he did his thing. Fourth and punt. Then you go to Malachi had another big return. 38-yard return, man. Again, puts us in plus territory once again. And he probably takes that one back, but he ran into Jacoby Thomas. Jacoby Thomas, I don't know what he was doing on that play, on that return. He was just, like, in the way. He was turning sideways. And I'm like, man, find you somebody north and south. Get up and put a body on somebody. And literally Malachi ran into him, and he kind of more tackled him than even Stanford did. But still impressive in the punt return game, man. Then the rain starts to come in. I was like, man, here we go with the rain again. Yeah. Oh, we cannot escape the rain, bro. Rain start coming in. We start a little drive. This one gets stalled out kind of quick. It was like a run pass run. It was like Fletcher pass over to CJ for like a real short game, and then back to Fletcher again on the run. We decided to go for it on fourth again, but this was again, it got blown up, and it was mainly because Brockenmeyer got blew up on the play. He got tossed into the back. He got pushed into the backfield pretty far, and then the D-tackle was able to basically just kind of reach over and grab the running back to cause the turnover on downs there.
Correct.
You know, but again, the defense was playing stout football, man. So started off, actually ended up getting a tackle for loss, made it 2nd and 13, a little short pass, got him like a 3rd and 10, didn't make much of it. We got a penalty after that, though, pass interference on Poyser. Set up a 1st and 10 from there. I thought that play was, I wasn't mad at it. But, you know, the football guys apparently was, because next play, Wesley Bissain picks it off. Not on the next play, I'm sorry, 2 plays later. It was the 3rd down. Nice big return, man, all the way down to the 3-yard line. Because you gotta remember, we just turned it over on their side of the field. So You know, they're working off of that side anyways. 3 yards, 3 yard line, great return for him. And then Fletcher just walks another one in to put us up 21-7. Did he announce yet, D-Rod?
Still
waiting a few minutes.
I'm still waiting, yeah.
Ain't quite heard yet. Okay. All right.
Let me see. Hold on, wait. Nope, he still ain't announced yet.
Few minutes. We still in the.
Yes, just announced.
Just announced.
Yep.
It was as we expected.
Yep. Milan Parrish commits to Miami over Oregon and Oklahoma. 6'5", 205 pounds, is the 160th player overall. 4-star kid, middle 4-star kid.
Yeah. Out of Ohio, correct?
Yes, out of Ohio.
Yeah, working the Midwest again, man. I think that's a good region for us. I think we've done well there. You know, we got both our tight ends out the Midwest from last cycle too. Guys, I think gonna be able to contribute. Brock Schott. What's his name? Who's the big kid? He got some burn last night too.
Luca Gilbert.
Gilbert, yeah. Ooh, that dude's huge, man. Boy, yeah. I'm telling you what, if he just play half up to his look, the what he looks like he could be. He could be a real problem, man. But welcome, boy, Milan. Man, you know, signing day, we like, what, 6 weeks away?
Yeah.
It's good. Man, it's crazy. Be here in no time. Anyways, from there, they get the ball back after we score. Yeah, a short little drive. They started putting together a drive. Didn't go nowhere because immediately Xavier Lucas picks off the quarterback for Stanford. I think that's when they decided it was getting close that he had to sit down somewhere anyways. But, yeah, Lucas picks him off. And then it became the Mark Fletcher show again. Yeah, four ran for 10, four ran for 11, four ran for 16, and then four ran for 7. In that order, boom, 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 boom. At this point, we know the game is effectively over. Ball game. That takes us into the fourth quarter. Another three and out for us by the defense. You know, Pat, giving it to Fletcher a little bit more. He's still playing a decent amount at this point. Another pass to Tony Johnson for a first down. Fletcher again for like another 6 yard gain. We go back. Still in pass to Josh Moore for a first. Then go to Keelan Marion for another first. Then we pass to Malachi Tony for another first. He's just a little pattern going. This game's getting wrapped up, man. Then this was the big Jordan Lyle run from 17 yards out. And I'm with you, man. I just was impressed by he just looked nimble on his feet, bounced to the outside once he got through the traffic and made it look too easy. Put us up 35-7 at that point. Next possession for those guys, forced turnover on downs. I mean, we put them in a bad position. We had like a 7 yard tackle for loss. They tried to run like this double reverse, I believe. Got way back behind the line, sniffed it out immediately. 7 yard, put those guys in bad position. At this point, they already put in the backup quarterback because the other guy done stunk it up enough. And it was like, all right, no need to hurt your ego no more. You might as well have a seat for the day. Turnover on downs, and at this point, we got backups. Emory Williams is out there. Remember that guy that beat Clemson that time?
Yeah.
He's out there playing that. People told me, man. He completes a pass to Josh Moore for a first down. And then after that, we got to see a little Hellcat. Hellcat ran for a nice little 7 yard gain. Ran for like two, fed him again, got the first down. And then pretty much we close it out, man. Get a ball to Gerard Pringle, freshman running back. A few little quick runs, was able to punch it in down towards the end, 42-7 ball game. Dominance, man. This, you know, didn't start the way you would want it, but it don't really matter. It's all about how you finish, man. They say good teams win, great teams cover the spread. You know, no complaints. Beck didn't light him up for 340, but he was very efficient with the football, which is what we wanted more of anyways. Like, we got playmakers. I don't think, you know, there's any need to worry about trying to force these shots. If they're there, let's take them. You want to keep the defense honest. But we got playmakers, man. Just take it to them. Get it to them. You know, work the slants, work the flats. You know, let's work the middle of the field. And just methodically work the field. And I thought they did a great job of that in this game. Mm-hmm. Of just taking what was there and letting the playmakers make plays once they got the football in their hand. Great team win, man. Great team win. Yeah. Shout out to the defense, man.
Yeah, shout out to the defense. They did their thing, man. Like I said, Corey Heatherman is really doing his thing, man. I can't complain. We're going to see what we do this week, you know, different type of offense. Well, actually, no, because we played South Florida, very similar offense.
Yeah.
Up-tempo, as soon as they get a first down, everybody rushing to the line. Or as soon as they get a positive again, everybody rushing to the line. They trying to – so.
And frankly, with those Canes gone, I feel like the talent level is –
it's dropped off. Yes.
Yeah, it's about like South Florida's as well. Yeah, right.
Defensively.
Yeah.
They had like three of our guys on the D-line.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And
I think I know Elijah Robinson in the league. Did Parker Harvey get picked up?
I don't know if he got picked up. Harrison, I think he's on a practice squad. I think he's on a practice squad, yeah. So, other than that, like, only thing they have left is Chris Johnson Jr., excuse me, and they have Romello Brinson. That's it. After that, it ain't no more Canes. It ain't no more SMU Hurricanes. So, yeah, there's that. Ain't nothing.
Yeah. About. Yeah, let's look ahead to that one a little bit. We go on the road playing SMU in Dallas. I really want to get out of that game this year, man.
Mm-hmm.
I hate being an adult sometimes, you know. You got to be responsible for all this foolishness, man. I want to be ignorant. Go out there and just act up. But no, yeah, you know, we teased a lot because of the amount of Canes that went over there with Rhett Lashley. He obviously was our offensive coordinator. But a lot of guys, yeah, have departed from the squad through nobody even transferred out. Everybody either graduated or a few guys made it to the NFL. You know, we know what you're getting offensively because we had that offensive coordinator. He's a guy, you know, Lashley likes to run tempo, you know, want to spread it out. He's going to be they're definitely going to take shots, but a lot of the game is predicated around the quick pass. And they've got a quarterback in Kevin Jennings who works that system very well. And then on top of that, he's got some decent wheels on him.
Gotcha.
Yeah. He took over for somebody initially, didn't he?
So mistaken. Yeah, it was Preston Stone was the initial starter.
Ah, yes, yes.
And then he came in and he took over. Stone has since transferred. So yeah, he's the guy now. But we know who's biting at his heels. Who's waiting to play?
TDD.
Please let him get some rest.
Man, if
is he healthy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, he should be healthy.
He's gonna go. I think he's a green light.
He can take a red shirt this year because he can take a red shirt. He's never redshirted. Because of the fact that remember his first year at Miami, it was a COVID year. So that was a free year. Then it was what 21, 22, and then 23. 21, 22 was Miami. Well, yeah, he 21, he was a starter with Manny. 22 and 23. He was our starter, and then 24, he was Wisconsin, I think he took a red shirt, but I think this year he took a medical red shirt, and I think this year.
Yeah, I said yeah, medical. Thank God. Hurt.
Yeah. So yeah, so after this year he's still gonna have 1 year left. And to me, if they want him the red shirt, this is telling me that I think Lashley gonna pivot. I think Jennings probably gone. I think he probably gonna hit that portal.
Think Lashley gone, Arkansas?
Yeah, if Arkansas can't, you know, somehow get James Franklin or somebody like that to fall in their lap, I think Lashley is their default move.
Yeah, I don't think Franklin fits Arkansas. I can see Lashley. I think he'll fit out there.
Lashley should be the number one guy for them. He went to Arkansas. He's from Fayetteville. That's like a situation like Miami with Mario, Clark Lee with Vanderbilt, Kirby Smart with Georgia. You know what I'm saying? It makes all the sense because they can establish and they're not pressured to, hey, you got to win next week or we fire you at the end of the year. It's not like that. They're going to give him enough time and they're going to put the resources and to make sure that Lashley is successful. So if I was Arkansas, I would throw anything I can at him because I know they probably would try to go after like what's the guy who's the OC? Not Dillingham, but he's the OC at TCU right now.
TCU?
Bryles. Kendall Bryles.
Oh, Kendall Bryles, yeah.
Kendall Bryles. You know what I'm saying? He's another one of those guys that was out there. But I can definitely see Rhett should be their number one guy. They should focus on Rhett. Now they're gonna have to pay him because SMU got the money. They have the money to give him whatever he wants. That oil money.
Yeah, stay there. Yeah, that's facts.
That oil money different.
Yeah, that's Ford Stadium too.
Yeah.
And they ain't the Mustangs for no reason. Yep. They tied in, they got money there. So you're right. The coaching carousel just got super interesting with them firing Brian Kelly as well. You know, I know a lot of Florida fans are salivating, thinking Kiffin was a done deal.
That job keep going down the totem pole, man.
Yes, sir. I'm telling you right now, if Lane leave with that LSU gig open, go ahead and get ready for a world of hurt, fellas. I think the answer will be LSU. That's just my guess.
Yeah. Now, I would say yes, LSU, but if so happened that Sarkisian gets an NFL gig, and if Texas get lame, that might be more dangerous. And the reason why I say that is because of what? NIL and money. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be able to do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah, but see the thing at LSU is such a rich talent pool in Louisiana. And, you know, Lane ain't like the most prolific recruiter, but you literally don't get nothing top flight out of LSU. I mean, out of Louisiana.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, we went after Lamar Brown and everybody getting all. I'm like, Lamar Brown's not leaving LSU, y'all. I promise. Like, we had a shot, a slim, slim, tiny. Brian Kelly is not going to make the difference in Lamar Brown staying or going. He's going to go to LSU. That's just how that game works for them, man.
Yeah.
Only thing I've heard from like an LSU guy is Brian Kelly really did a bad job with recruiting locally, and Lane's gonna have to like whoever they bring in is gonna have to repair them little relationships. So Lane either gonna have to get that super recruiter by his side, which he probably will, but that's gonna be like the biggest goal is.
But you know what the issue with that is? It's I'm not saying that you're whoever told you that is not telling the truth, but they got Frank Wilson on staff. Frank Wilson is a Louisiana legend. He's been on every staff at Louisiana. He's like, who would you say is like, oh man, so back in the day, who did Florida have? Oh, what's that guy's name, man? He was like, or Jimbo, one of them. Oh, basically, no, put it like this. When James Coley, everybody know James Coley was like an ace recruiter when it came, you know what I'm saying, to anything down here or whatever the case may be. That's what Frank Wilson is to LSU. That dude is an ace recruiter, dog. He knows the ins and outs of New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and everything, and them kids love him. So yeah. I get it. Matter of fact, even Hova, when he was at Florida.
He was at Florida, yeah.
that's the equivalent to what Frank Wilson is. I think he's the interim head coach, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's the interim head coach. So okay. They have that guy. So I don't know what relationship probably need to be. I mean, it could be something, but as long as Frank Wilson is still there, if he stays there, they in good hands, bro. They in good hands.
We'll see. Yeah, they say they kind of made it sound like Kelly was being lazy. That was kind of some of the rhetoric coming out of towards the end. But they're very lackadaisical is kind of what I was hearing. But I don't like the guy. And I'm not shocked it didn't really work out at LSU. But yeah, it's a lot of stuff going on, man. Florida, Penn State, lot to move in these next couple of weeks.
So Frank Wilson, he was already the running back coach, but he's the interim head coach.
Okay.
He's from New Orleans. He's coached at Edna Carr High School, right? Which is right there.
That's one of their staple programs.
Yeah. So he's been to Ole Miss, Southern Miss, Tennessee, LSU, 5 years, 2010 to 2015. He went to UTSA. Then he came back, was at McNeese State, and then he went back to LSU. So he's, like I said, he's a Louisiana legend. So as long as he's there, they're not gonna have no issues, bro.
The cornerback coach.
Oh, Corey Raymond.
Raymond went back, right? Yeah.
Raymond went back.
Well, Raymond come with the furniture, don't he?
Yeah. Whoever takes that job is going to keep those two guys on staff. They're not gonna fire them two. They're not getting rid of them two.
That Corey Raymond boy. That joke there. Yeah. He like Odell. He Odell, man. Odell's still around too. Is Odell gone yet? No, they're still in.
I don't know.
With Florida State, I think he's still in.
He retired.
He finally retired. This is his first year not there, right?
Yeah, I think this is his first year not there. He retired. Yeah.
Okay.
Last year, I think he was in a senior, like a senior analyst type role.
Right. Yeah.
And I think he officially retired. So
anyway, we'll wrap up. Let's kind of get through SMU, man. We'll get out of here. So they are overall 5-3, 3-1 in the conference. So they play one more conference game than us and sitting just a little bit higher than us right now in the standings only because of that. They're kind of some of their key players. Obviously, I mentioned Kevin Jennings, Romello Brinson, 4-star recruit we had down here. Out from the crew, I think he played at St. Thomas, right? St. Thomas kid, I'm pretty sure he was.
Who's that again?
Almost Romello Brinson.
No, he went to Northwestern.
No, okay, yeah. I'm thinking blue and yellow, but not gold. Yeah, you're right.
Northwestern.
Man, remember he made that crazy catch his freshman year?
Yeah,
he was playing like some little old tiny school, but it was an insane catch. Yeah, it was insane.
He like did a backflip or something like
that. Yeah, that shit was crazy, bro. He didn't quite crack it, the rotation here with us, but he did eventually end up, getting his game up to par. He's a senior now, so I mean, it's been a while, but he has become more of a key component to their offense there. What you gonna say?
Yeah, and I'm not upset that he left because the reason why he left is because of he didn't know who the offensive coordinator was going to be. So he left. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't pushed out. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. He didn't know who the OC was going to be. So when that happened, he left and then Dawson came. I think he would have did great in Dawson's system. I think he would have done good as that deep threat guy. You know what I'm saying? So
it's sometimes to change the pace of just what people need.
Yeah.
I mean, when he first left us, he didn't crack in. You know, it took him a while. So he found his footing. That's the thing. Not every player is going to be that splash first year, second year guy. Sometimes it takes, the body to fully develop to where it's going to get, the mind to fully develop to, what you're really trying to get done, too. So,
he has some maturing to do, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I'm happy that sometimes it's better to leave for something.
Right. Yeah. Some people need it. So more power to him, man. I'm glad he found some footing and a role on that squad. Then the opposite of him, Jordan Hudson, He's a transfer as well. I can't remember where he come from. But, you know, like I said, their offense is kind of predicated on spreading the ball out in general. But he's been a guy that's been able to be productive for him as well. And then you got a Hurricane legacy, RJ Maryland, who is he's like 6'4 tight end. You know, not prototypical in a lot of ways, but a good route runner, strong hands. He's versatile. He's kind of he's almost like a they split him out wide sometimes too and put him in the slot. So he's like he kind of plays a role of like a big wide out to some of your traditional tight end slot position as well. So he's definitely a weapon that'll be utilized in this offense as well. And then you know, we got who else still left from the Hurricanes? Chris Johnson Jr. I think he's like third back for them though. So the running game isn't as lethal, you know, as you might expect in his offense, in the Red Lashley offense. So I think they just kind of supplemented more with passing the short game to turn those basically into their running game. Defensively, you know, they, I don't know, man. Like D-Rod was talking about, they're pretty solid. I didn't want to say it that way. They're pretty solid against the run. And then it gets a little bit dicey after that. You can kind of air it out a little bit against these guys. So let's see if we can take advantage of that. But they got a couple guys stand out a little bit. DJ Warner, defensive end for them. He's a disruptive dude off the edge. Elijah Pratt is a safety for those guys. He's kind of guy. He's known for a little bit of ball hawking ability. The interior D line. What's those guys' name? Woo Spencer and Jeffrey Mba. I think it's Mba. That name sounds crazy familiar to me.
Oh yeah, remember he was the guy we was after when he came out of JUCO.
Oh, the French kid. Like,
yeah, he went up.
I knew that name sounded familiar. He old as hell. No wonder he
he jumped in the portal like three times.
He's 34. No wonder he got pretty impressive ball. I was like, that name sounds crazy familiar to me. And then they got some pretty good range at linebacker with Xavier Wright and Ryan Earl. And the other safety that kind of stands out a little bit is Jaden Milliner Jones. You know, he's an instinctive kind of guy. Good in run support. Like I said, pretty solid in the run game. But I do think it'd be opportunities to spread the ball around. And then Tyler Van Dyke, or as we like to call him, Tyler Van Dimes. You know, if anything happens, put my man in, you're gonna get it all, bro. You already know what time it is. Three interceptions, easy.
Easy.
Easy all day long. The spread on that one is 11 and a half, I believe, as it stands today.
So it went up.
Went up a little bit?
Yeah, it was. Like I think it was like 10. If you're saying it's 11 and a half, it means it's going up.
Okay, yeah. Let me double check that.
I wouldn't be surprised if it goes up higher because SMU's hit with a lot of injuries too.
It's 12 and a half.
Oh, it's 12 and a half now?
Yeah, it's actually 12 and a half as I'm looking right now. Speak to you. October 28th.
Yeah, so when it opened up, it was like 10 and a half. It was
creeping up a little more.
Yeah, it's creeping up some. So,
let's get a score prediction, man, and we'll get up out of here. You know, on the road, not particularly hostile environment. It will be an early kick for us, so that'd be a challenge. We haven't had to do that yet, and that's an hour back. Time wise, so it'll be 11 o'clock Eastern time, and as far as their bodies are concerned, but noon kick. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a bit of a sluggish start in this game, just because I think they may got to wake up a little bit. I think it can go two ways. Either They can jump up because they ain't used to being out in the sun that early. And they get the energy from the sun. Or they might just be a little sluggish because they still got a little cold in their eye.
Yeah.
But the over-under on this one is 50.5, too. So not necessarily, you know, expecting a ton of scoring. That's a pretty decent line. I like Miami to cover again. I think we go out on the road and get it done. Give me somewhere in the range of I'm gonna be respectful. I'm gonna call it 31-17 Miami.
Ooh.
31-17 okay. Miami.
All right. So yeah, so first we opened up as a 10-point favorite and it jumped up to 12.5. So again, like I said, they know something. Also, like I said, they're kind of ravaged with injuries. It's a couple guys. They got a few guys that aren't healthy. The starting running back, he's not 100% healthy. On the defensive side, the secondary is depleted. They have a lot of injuries there. So I see it as I'm gonna say 35-17.
Okay. All right, similar take. Maul, you want to give one?
Yeah, I got something similar. I'm gonna go 31-14. I think defense will settle in, and it's homecoming for them too. We know it's a noon game. That crowd gonna be sauced up with brunch. So.
That disrespectful. Don't you ever schedule us for no damn homecoming? You schedule Duke. You should put some respect on us. And just for that, I hope we stomp y'all out by another touchdown. It was 45 or something like that. But that's it, man. Like I said, brand new commit, Milan Paris. I don't know what that moves the class to exactly because I know we lost same one. The game one. About to say probably same, yeah, right?
Same, 12.
12. All right. Number 12 class. They working on some flips. We'll see if things get any more interesting down the stretch. There's some big names in there. Mm-hmm. I ain't expecting a lot, but, you know, I think we'll get at least one firework, kind of like we did with Hayden Lowe, who unfortunately is injured this year. Oh, man. Would love to see that guy from all the hype we've seen. And some of the video clips I seen. That was a dude. Anyway, all right. We up out of here, man. It's 26 degrees. Appreciate y'all pulling up with us. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.